Hi, with Truth News Radio Australia on the 21st of June 2014. Great to have you aboard the show. Well, today I'm going to be talking a lot about vaccines. In Australia, there has been an increasing campaign from the powers that be to marginalise and disempower and generally persecute anyone who questions vaccines. And it's actually increasing. The pressure is increasing. The techniques they're using are becoming kind of weirder and just generally more intense. And I want to go through a number of issues on that topic in today's show. And I also want to discuss some of the broader implications of what this sort of war on vaccine dissidents means and how we need to address it if we're to bring basic sense and humanity and justice to a very, very important issue in our society. I'll be looking at a few other Australian stories today, and I'll also be giving you my take on the situation in Iraq with the insurgency there now leading to direct US intervention. I have an angle on this which seems to be a little different to what I've heard on the airwaves and on the blogosphere, so I'll give you my thoughts on that. I'll also be bringing you a clip from an alleged geoengineering whistleblower who popped up earlier this year, and only just discovered this recently, but the lady, Kirsten Meegan, previously worked for the US Air Force, and she claims to have discovered that the US Air Force was involved in geoengineering and specifically chemtrails. Now, I'd like to play some of the clip of her speech. She's done quite a number of interviews, quite a number of clips on YouTube. And I want to kind of analyse what she said and give you my perspective on the substance and the substantive value of what she has brought to that topic. But let's return now to the question of vaccines. The situation, I believe, with vaccines is one where we as concerned citizens and as champions of freedom and civil rights need to change the dialogue. We need to move from a situation where we're always on the back foot, where we're always trying to get permission not to be vaccinated against the government's threats to force us. We need to change the dialogue from that to one where we are putting the pressure on the government and the government is on the back foot and is trying to get our approval. The whole situation is completely upside down, folks. It's completely tyrannical, it is completely totalitarian. But of course, it's not just the government. Our biggest enemy and our biggest problem is, in fact, the media. But the media works arm in arm with the government and cross-linking with the massively powerful pharmaceutical industry. And I really do believe that the Murdoch press in particular is deeply entrenched in the big pharma agenda, because they're the ones that always seem to have the nastiest hit pieces against vaccine skeptics. And there's quite a few of those around at the moment. Now, this could have something to do with the very, very important case of Saba Button, whose family received a substantial settlement after their daughter was severely disabled by the CSL Fluvax vaccine in 2010. And the settlement only recently came through. It is a huge story because this is a clear case now where we can say a child has been seriously damaged by a vaccine. Saba Button suffers from cerebral palsy. She underwent severe brain damage. She had a horrendous reaction to the vaccine, seizures leading to the brain damage, and she is now going to require intensive medical care for the rest of her life. And there is a website, the Saba Rose Button Foundation, that's sababutton.org, which contains information about her and will tell you more about her story. Now, it may be that in the wake of this very, very important settlement, which lends weight to the skeptics of vaccines, that the powers that be need now to massage the general public, to increase the propaganda once again, and to basically put down the memory hole this important piece of information. But today we are going to ensure that it remains center focus in your attention, and I'll be going through some of the details that I have about Saba Button. But I want to talk about the vilification campaign that is being run by the mainstream media at the behest of the corporate cartels. This is our main threat. This is where we really need to focus our attention. And I want to play to you a clip that was from a Channel 10 news piece, which is really just a smear piece on vaccine skeptics. It has no other purpose other than to ridicule and smear those who have questions about vaccines. So let me play that to you right now.
Australia's anti-vaccination movement has been caught out promoting a parody image on social media. The satire was designed to mock the movement, but instead has drawn widespread criticism. Jesse Grayson has the story.
A confronting image with an unbelievable statistic about immunisation. It's fake and ridicules the anti-vaccination lobby. But that hasn't stopped the movement claiming it as its own.
And I guess it just goes to show that the desperation of anti-vaccinationists or people who oppose vaccination strongly, that they'll latch on to that type of image.
The photo was part of a series posted on the website Something Awful's Photo Friday. Participants were asked to create extreme parodies of the anti-vaccination campaign.
And any person who chooses not to vaccinate their child not only puts their own child at risk, but the lives of other children.
Joe Briskey is part of the lobby group called The Parenthood, 15,000 moderate thinkers pushing immunisation.
One of the campaigns that we are running at the moment is to get governments at all levels to make it easier for people to vaccinate and make it harder for those who choose not to.
In making this story, 10 News made 5 phone calls to people identifying themselves as part of the anti-vaccination lobby. 3 of them simply hung up the phone. The other 2 said they had no interest in participating in a story within the mainstream media, instead choosing the anonymity of social media to now push their agenda, an agenda the medical profession maintains is ridiculous.
No global conspiracy that I've seen. I immunise my children. All of the doctors and nurses I know immunise their children.
Art imitating life or parody of the fool? Jesse Grayson, 10 Eyewitness News.
So how do you like them apples? This is the style that the mainstream media is now using. And it is really a descent into the most pathetic, the most gutter-level attempt to undermine everything that principled people like Merrill Dorey, the head of the Australian Vaccine Skeptics Network, is trying to achieve in Australia. And another story here from the mainstream about Merrill Dorey, quite interestingly, she was scheduled to speak at a health expo in Caloundra in Queensland on the Sunshine Coast. And I've already brought to you some other information about this in previous shows. And there has been a campaign to have her information shut down. There has been a campaign to basically demonize her and prevent her from being able to disseminate her information at the expo. But she's also been subject to death threats. And I have an article here from the Courier Mail. Security beefed up at Sunshine Coast Health Expo after death threats to anti-vaxxer Merrill Dorey. And this is from the Courier Mail. Security has been beefed up at a health expo where a prominent anti-vaccination campaigner will today question whether shots save lives. Now, this is from about a month ago, May 24, 2014. Merrill Dorey said she was the victim of an overt death threat on Friday night ahead of her controversial appearance on the Sunshine Coast this weekend. The head of the Australian Vaccination Skeptics Network said she was rattled by a post on her Facebook page which read, "Really, you're gonna be dead soon, bitch." The comment was left by a named individual who appeared to be located in the Sunshine Coast region. So, Merrill Dorey is being subjected to death threats. We have the federal government threatening people with all kinds of financial shocks if they don't vaccinate. And we have the mainstream media constantly creating this impression in the general public's mind that those who simply have questions about vaccines are some weird, fringe, feral part of the population who we should just distance ourselves from. They're probably all sick anyway. They're probably all diseased. We can't let them near our kids. It's a health risk that they even exist. This is the meme that is being pushed, and it is so far from the truth, it is ridiculous. People who don't vaccinate are often at the upper end of the socioeconomic scale. They're often people who are quite successful in many other aspects of their lives. They've got money. They've done research. And contrary to what was said in the clip there that I played you earlier about how all the doctors get their kids vaccinated, that's actually not true. A lot of doctors don't get their kids fully vaccinated. A lot of them know that there's problems. They'll never speak out about it. And again, this is something we have to change. But watch what their actions are. Now, this is something I would really like to follow up on the show because I've heard it many times. I'm quite convinced that it's true that many doctors do not give their children all of the vaccines because they know the dangers. We need to find out more about that. We need to do research. We need to get this information out because we need to be no longer in the position of trying to simply defend our basic rights against the encroachment of tyranny, against the encroachment of disinformation, of vilification, right? We should be on the front foot here. So when we come back from the break, I'll be talking to you more about this and more about the Sabah Button case. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.
Welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio Australia. Check us out on our website at truthnews.com.au. And if you'd like to support our work, please click on the subscribe link and you can subscribe to our show. We really, really would appreciate that. We really do need the money. I'm trying to do a lot of things with this show that push the envelope. We're trying to get a lot more great interviews for you this year. We've had a lot of great interviews last year. And I want to improve the show in so many, many, many ways. All of these things require money, folks. And what you need to consider is that if you are fed up with the stranglehold of the media cartels on mainstream media, controlling the flow of information and preventing you from having a channel to get what you need, to get the information you need, then you need to recognize that the only way that's going to change is if real effort and real money is channeled into creating alternatives. People who do alternative media cannot simply survive on pocket money. You cannot build media on pocket money. It can only happen with substantial amounts of fiat currency. And this is the money that we all know is a somewhat corrupt institution created by banks, and most of it is not really used in ways that we feel are productive. Of course, much of it is. There's very important primary production that goes on. There's very important things that people do to make society run and to make the economy work. But a lot of what we spend our money on is simply necessary for us to get by, or is spent on consumerism, things that we don't really need, fashion, entertainment. I mean, so much of the economy is taken up with that. And that includes things like news, folks. I mean, news is part of the entertainment industry. And it is actually mostly stuff that you don't need. It's just entertainment. But it's entertainment with propaganda added. It's like three parts entertainment, one part propaganda, because what they're trying to do is shape your opinion all the time, because the people who own all these media industries also own all the big companies, and they also run the government. So news is about entertaining you, to distract you, to numb you, to dumb you down, and also to control the way you think. So what we're trying to do in alternative media like this show is we are trying to help you think. We are trying to provide real information. And this requires your fiat currency. I'm not joking around. It cannot happen without it. I have put massive amounts of hours in the last year into this show, particularly the last 6 months, rebuilding the site, putting in a subscription system, putting in an e-commerce framework, and getting great guests on the show so we can build from a new foundation. We really do need your subscription. So if you're a listener who's been listening to the show for a while now, I strongly encourage you to be a subscriber. If you're a new listener, no rush. Have a listen for a while, you know, see what you think, see if it's worth it. I wouldn't want anyone to put money into a show like this if they didn't think it was worthwhile, if they didn't think we were doing a good job. But if you do listen and you do think we're doing a good job, I don't see how you can not subscribe. I really don't. And there are several different ways of subscribing, several different subscription levels. You can subscribe on a monthly basis, you can subscribe on a yearly basis, and you can also subscribe as a concessional subscriber. That's another type of subscription that I have just added to the system, so that if you are financially challenged, if you're a pensioner, if you're a student, if you're unemployed, and you can't afford the $65 a year subscription, you can subscribe for $35 a year. If you do subscribe for 1 year for $65, we will send you a T-shirt and a DVD in the mail. And we have a variety of sizes, and it is the TNRA T-shirt, which you can see on our website. So have a think about that while I continue now to bring you some cutting-edge analysis. I'm going to read to you from an article that was in the Courier Mail. Again, we're seeing a lot of stuff in the Courier Mail. And that, of course, is a Rupert Murdoch enterprise. But we tend to see a lot in the Courier Mail about demonising vaccine dissidents. Parents who fail to vaccinate their kids could lose financial incentives under measures being considered, by the federal government. Health Minister Peter Dutton today will urge parents not to be complacent about the eradication of diseases such as polio, measles, and whooping cough as he opens a Melbourne immunisation conference. Mr. Dutton said it was considering that in some communities more than 7% of parents were actively deciding not to vaccinate. Currently, between 8% and 10% of children are not fully immunised, and this is unacceptable, he said. Now, the reality, folks, is that a 92% vaccination rate is pretty high. I mean, it doesn't get much higher than that. Australia actually has one of the highest saturations of vaccination of any place in the world. This is an obsession, but it's actually about stamping out those who disagree. Because those 8% or so who don't vaccinate are actually mostly people who have real objections to vaccines. Anyway, just continuing from the article. Both the Prime Minister and I believe more needs to be done to ensure that parents do not ignore their obligations to the broader community. It is easy for parents to become complacent when the success of our vaccination program in eradicating potentially deadly diseases such as polio, measles, whooping cough, and diphtheria means that parents no longer see the effects of these debilitating diseases. Mr. Dutton indicated that parents who refuse to vaccinate their children could lose financial incentives. Notice how that paragraph was written. Mr. Dutton indicated, it's not a quote, it's not verifiable. We don't really know what he said. It's nonsense. This whole article is nonsense. It's basically just a hit piece drummed up by the propaganda arm of the media, of the cartels that are trying to ensure that vaccinations are continually part of the medical program and that profits are not affected in any way. It's keeping us on message, keeping us on point. Okay, I'm going to read to you an article from the Australian government, humanservices.gov.au, about incentives that are currently in place to coerce parents into vaccinating their children. Immunising your children. Some of our payments, such as the Family Tax Benefit Part A Supplement, Child Care Benefit, and Child Care Rebate, can only be paid for children who have been immunised or have an approved immunisation exemption. We also provide a national register to help parents and carers keep track of their children's immunisation history. Australian Childhood Immunisation Register. The Australian Childhood Immunisation Register is a national register that records vaccinations given to children under 7 years old. It also provides immunisation history statements to parents and guardians. Immunisation requirements for the Family Tax Benefit Part A. To meet the immunisation requirements, you now need to have your children immunised during the financial years that each child turns 1, 2 and 5 years old. Children need to be up to date with immunisation or have an approved exemption. Most of the immunisations on the National Immunisation Program schedule are linked to family assistance payments. Now, when we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you about the immunisation exemptions, because despite everything you've heard, and this is all very scary, you can actually get an exemption. This is because we still do actually have some rights in this country. Very, very important topic, coming right back after the break. Don't go away. Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. And I was reading you there before the break from the Australian government, their policies on immunisation and family tax benefits. And you can see it's all quite draconian. If you read it at a superficial level, it looks like you're really quite forced to have these vaccines if you want to get the family tax benefits. However, there is this little paragraph here called immunisation exemptions, and you really do need to be aware of this. If there is an approved reason why your child is not fully immunised and you want an immunisation exemption, you need to provide us with one of the following from your immunisation provider or doctor. And there are three types of exemptions. These are: 1. An immunisation exemption for medical reasons. 2. An immunisation exemption by conscientious objection form. Or 3. A letter explaining why the exemption is necessary. So it's that number 2 there that you need to really be aware of, is that as a conscientious objector, you can still get all of those benefits. You simply have to fill in the form. Now, there is pressure to remove the conscientious objection clause, but to do so, ladies and gentlemen, to do so would be a fatal blow to our democracy. And this is where we need to actually get the sandbags up, where we need to understand that this is a line that cannot be crossed. But when you hear this talked about on the mainstream news, they never even mention the conscientious objection form. They don't want you to know about it. This is their tactic. This is their current tactic to make you believe that you have to do it, otherwise you don't get the money, right? And most people probably do believe that is the case if they even hear about it. Well, you're wrong. You don't have to get vaccinated. You don't have to get your kids vaccinated. Just fill out the conscientious objection form. But when the day comes, if that day comes, that they remove that exemption, then we as a people need to rise up. And you need to drop everything else. This is more important than a lot of other things in your life. You need to hit the streets. You need to stop the what would be a fatal encroachment on your basic freedom and democratic rights. So that is enough of that. I will put that article on our show notes so you can refer to it. Okay, let's return now to talk a little about the Saba Button case. I have an article here from the ABC, and there is a video that goes with that. I'll play a little of that for you right now.
The family of a West Australian girl who was left severely disabled after receiving a flu shot has reached a multi-million dollar settlement. Saba Button suffered brain damage following the flu vax, and her parents say they're relieved the legal battle is over.
For the parents of 5-year-old Saba Button, it's been a long road to compensation.
I suppose today's a bittersweet feeling for us. It's obviously a relief to have the legal case behind us.
Saba was a healthy 11-month-old when she received the FluVac shot in 2010. But shortly after, she suffered brain and organ damage. She's been left with severe disabilities and requires constant care.
Because it could have been anyone's family or anyone's child. We're just a normal family.
Saba's parents launched legal action against the manufacturers of the vaccine, CSL. The company in turn lodged a cross-claim against the state government and the health minister, Kim Hames, arguing they were responsible for compensation. All of the parties have now reached a confidential settlement, believed to be worth millions of dollars.
I'll just leave it there. I have played that before on Truth News Radio. I just wanted to draw it to your attention again and to understand the situation that the family is now in, because I've been privy to information that is quite shocking, which is that the family is actually not allowed to give interviews. Clearly, they were giving an interview here for the ABC, but they're not generally allowed to give interviews. And I think the main thrust of it is that they're not allowed to criticise the CSL, the company CSL, which makes the vaccine. They're not allowed to discuss the case in particular. They're not allowed to discuss the substantive issues which led to Saba Button being permanently brain damaged. And this is a really, really shocking situation. I mean, it's great that they got the money. I really do think it's fantastic they've got the money. It's a precedent. It's a very important step forward. But look at how they're trying to damage control. Look at how the vaccine industry is trying to damage control by gagging the family from simply talking about the case. Whereas, in fact, the most important thing for the general public, for the rest of Australia, for the rest of the world, is that we do talk about it, that we find out, that we know exactly what happened and why it happened, and that there should be a massive inquiry as to how it was that this vaccine damaged the girl. We hear nothing about that. There seems to be no interest in actually finding out why specifically this girl was damaged, only in shutting everyone up, paying the money, hush money. This is what it is. It's hush money. And now they're gagged. And if they speak out, they could lose all that money. Seriously, this is the situation that they're in. So I was actually hoping to do an interview with the family, with the mother and father of Saba Button, but can't do it. They're not allowed to speak. So let me read to you from the website, sababutton.org, the Saba Rose Button Foundation. The Saba Rose Button Foundation has been established to help our special little girl, Saba. Although perfectly healthy before, Saba had a severe and life-changing reaction to the 2010 flu vaccine. This product is no longer available to infants because of what happened to Saba and the awareness this raised in regards to its safety. Well, one thing I'll say in relation to that is that that was the 2010 flu vaccine. They change the vaccines every year. So, of course, that particular product is no longer available because they don't sell the same product every year. But the underlying causes have never been determined. Many people knew that this vaccine was particularly bad. Many people knew. There were massive numbers of adverse reports. Who knows how many other people have been severely damaged by this vaccine? So, although it's true that the product is no longer available, that's kind of a moot point. Sadly, Saba now has severe brain damage, cerebral palsy, from the acquired brain injury. She suffers from spastic quadriplegia, level 5, the highest level of disability. She has severe epilepsy and respiratory weakness, and she can no longer walk or talk. Saba cannot speak and cannot eat food through her mouth. This is very, very sad, folks. This is very, very extreme. She is fed via a button in her stomach and is totally dependent for her care. The Foundation's purpose is to seek to enable Saba to access all the ongoing necessary therapy, equipment, and intensive care she needs 24/7. Saba's story. We had a perfect pregnancy with Saba and an easy, natural birth. Saba was a very healthy little girl who had a loving, cheeky, and strong-willed personality. She started walking independently at 11 and a half months and was able to say Mama, Dada and Nana, along with meeting all the other developmental milestones for her age. She was very knowing and hardly ever cried. Saba slept well and enjoyed the company of her older brother Cooper and was beginning to socialise with her friends. Saba would light up a room with her beautiful smile. In the year of 2010, the Western Australian Health Department put out a letter to families promoting the flu vaccination for children from 6 months to 5 years of age. We followed this advice and decided that it was in our best interest to protect our children from the flu virus. So on the 19th of April, exactly a week before Saba's first birthday, at 12:30 p.m, we went as a family to our GP to receive the flu vaccination. And the type we received was Fluvax by CSL. And we are just going to break. I will continue reading this after the break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia, Don't go away. Welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio, and I'm just reading to you here from cyberbutton.org, Cyberbutton's story, the little girl who was severely, tragically damaged by a flu vaccine in Western Australia. That afternoon, this is after having had the injection, that afternoon Cyber presented normally, was playing and was very happy. She had her 1:45pm bottle of milk and went to bed at 2pm. And slept for 2 hours. That night she ate all of her dinner, drank her bottle of milk, and was then put to bed. It was at around 8pm that evening that she could be heard on the monitor making a soft, continuous moaning noise. When we checked on Saba, she was very limp, pale, and had a temperature of 40.2 degrees. We then called the ambulance, who arrived, and she was rushed to Princess Margaret Hospital. We spent the next 2 hours in the emergency department and then were sent to the ward, but Saba was still having seizures, and it was not until 4 a.m. that Saba was taken to the paediatric intensive care unit of the Princess Margaret Hospital. In ICU, Saba was intubated, that is, put on life support to breathe. She had a tube up her nose into her stomach for milk and medications. She was put on anti-seizure medications, blood pressure medications, and many different antibiotics. Blood tests were taken, and they did an MRI and CAT scan, which showed us that Saba had suffered severe brain damage and multi-organ failure. The following morning, we were taken into a room in ICU and told that they didn't expect Saba to live, and that if she somehow did, she may never walk or talk again. We rallied together in support and held strong belief that Saba could do this, that she was so strong in spirit that she could make it. The next day, her blood results showed that her organs were responding more positively, and then a few days later, Saba began to breathe by herself. She had decided to pull through. Since the original incident, Saba has been admitted to the hospital 40 times for respiratory, breathing problems and seizures that we cannot get under control. We almost lost her again in 2012 with a severe bout of pancreatitis caused by the anti-seizure medications. Saba has now been diagnosed as having cerebral palsy from an acquired brain injury caused by the vaccine, Fluvax, by CSL. So that is the story of Saba Button. It's a landmark case in the sense that she received compensation. There are many other cases of children who have been damaged, maybe not quite as extremely as Saba, but very, very similar in many ways. Many, many cases. I've personally come across them. Most of these people have never been compensated. So you can see why the drug manufacturer wants to shut down discussion on this. They've paid hush money. But I think we are reaching a threshold now where it's going to be harder and harder for them to suppress the information. So on this show, we're going to continue to bring that to the spotlight. Okay, we're almost at the end of the hour, folks. I would just like to talk a little bit now about the current situation in Iraq. And I would like to draw your attention to the possibility that the news you're hearing about the ISIS insurgency there is part of another one of these programs of intervention whereby a big, huge story is created that's incredibly scandalous and shocking that then provokes military intervention or threats of it. Of course, we saw that last year in Syria, came very close to actually having military intervention, and then at the last minute it was stopped. We know that military intervention is something that is a huge cash generator for the military-industrial complex. It is part of their business. It is what they do. Now, these executions and this horrendous news from Iraq has to be taken with a grain of salt. We have to consider anything that comes from these highly compromised, known liars in the mainstream news to be treated with suspicion. So I'm simply applying a critical eye to what we've seen. And I do have an article here from ibtimes.co.uk. Iraq crisis. Are the ISIS execution photos fake? Now, let me just clarify by saying I don't dispute that ISIS exists, and I don't dispute that they are a fundamentalist Muslim organization who espouses violence. I don't dispute that. But you could say the same of Al-Qaeda. But the question is, who are they really? And who's pulling the strings behind them? Because you can have groups that are motivated and funded from sources that you don't know, that are full of people who are running around threatening and doing crimes, certainly violent, but they can still have a completely other agenda at work behind them. But often we see there is a need to even increase that, to increase the public outrage, to create an uproar, to provoke some sort of geopolitical strategy, change, action. This is a classic technique, it's a false flag technique, and it's being used again and again. It's being used with incredibly monotonous regularity now all over the world, but it's particularly used by the American military empire. It's amazing that they can still get away with it, to me. Anyway, I'm not saying I know for sure that this is one such case, but let me read to you this article here from the IB Times. Gruesome pictures posted on Twitter by militants from the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant may not be authentic, according to human rights activists. ISIS, which has captured several key cities across Iraq in a brutal insurgency which began last week, posted several pictures purportedly portraying the abduction and killing of government soldiers. The pictures appear to show masked ISIS fighters loading captives into flatbed trucks before taking them to a shallow ditch and forcing them to lay face down with their hands tied behind their backs. The final images show the bodies of the captives soaked in blood after being shot. ISIS captioned the photos with the claim that hundreds have been liquidated and boasted on a militant website that the horrific images provide evidence that 1,700 Iraqi government soldiers have been killed by Sunni fighters. Now, a number of reporters have questioned the authenticity of the photos that were provided by ISIS. I have a quote here from Times of London's deputy editor, Elizabeth Orcott. She claims that the photographs are of high quality compared to the usually poorer quality derived from video footage. This raises doubts. The colour seems too good. The quantity of pixels is above expectation and exposure is accurate. The composition of the images also suggests that the maker had some kind of visual training in making pictures and editing them. We should be doubtful about the provenance of these images, she concluded. Well, I've actually had a look at some of the photographs too. I think I'd encourage you to take a look. I see some problems with the photos. I think they look staged and they look like they may have been photoshopped. I can't be sure. I'm certainly not an expert in this. There are certain aspects to them that other people have commented on the internet. I think we can say for certain that they were staged. They may have been staged with actual dead bodies, but they've been staged for the purpose of creating outrage. And one wonders why this is occurring. And the main thrust of what I'm saying here is not so much to say, well, these are fake and these people weren't killed, but to basically illustrate that what is happening here is a staged operation which is now bringing the US back into Iraq. And we've seen this so many times before, we've got to be incredibly skeptical about it. You know, this is done over and over again, and it seems to be part of the agenda of control. It's part of the way the empire regains its grip on those parts of the world that it dominates, is to have these endless problems. And they say, oh, everything's getting better now. Oops, we slipped back again. And then, and then they blame the previous government, and there's all this like to and fro, oh, Obama, and it's Bush. You know, and then Dick Cheney comes on and says, you know, it's all Obama's fault. We had everything under control. It's all kind of a pantomime as well, this whole debate and dialogue that occurs in the news between politicians, when in fact the truth is that Iraq has been a basket case pretty much ever since 1991, after the first invasion of Iraq, and then the second invasion of Iraq in 2003, the deposing of Saddam Hussein. Iraq has been a mess, and there has been continuous unrest. Even though it has decreased a little, sure, it went. The number of deaths did decrease after the so-called surge in 2007. But you know that the car bombs never stopped. The murders never stopped. They just went down to a lower level. Now it's resurging again. Iraq is an occupied country. This is never going to end until the US leaves Iraq. But we're going to see this endless game of the Democrats blaming the Republicans and the Republicans blaming the Democrats for different ways and in different contexts, while the military solution is always there, and every now and then they'll get involved and they'll start bombing again. They might even, they've put 300 military observers back into Iraq. So that's just my quick take on that. We are out of time. Unfortunately, I did want to cover a number of other important stories today. We've only got 1 hour in today's show. So I'm afraid I'll have to leave it there, but don't worry, I'll be back next week, and I'll be covering the stories that I didn't get to today. It's been a great pleasure talking to you today. Do check us out at truthnews.com.au, and do take a look at our subscribe options, which you can find from the banners on the homepage. You can subscribe either as a monthly, yearly, or a concession subscriber, and I do think it's a very, very worthwhile investment of your money in an alternative media resource. I'll be back next week. See you then.